I want to think about David's conflict with Hanun and the son of Nahash, the Ammonite. Well, it's soon after the death of Saul, and David, it seems to me, is running around trying to show grace to as many people as he can. You know, anyone who even buried Saul, he pours grace upon them, the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead. Oh, you buried Saul? Oh, yeah, you know, I show you grace. And I think he does the same to this Hanun, the son of Nahash. David said, I'll show kindness to Hanun as his father showed kindness to me. So David sends servants to comfort him about the loss of his father. Well, in 2 Samuel 8, you see that Nahash, well, had had conflict with Saul and with David. So David is reading it very positively. But I think you see here just an example of grace. And David, for all his bloodshed and all that wasn't quite right with the guy, was saved by his own grace, in a sense. And he says, I will show kindness, I will show grace. This is about the closest Hebrew word you're going to get to the equivalent of grace in the New Testament. The idea of grace is that I take the initiative. I will show kindness. I will just do this. Oh, the guy's father died. I will show kindness to him. And that, of course, is what grace is. This is why it is so wrong to think that God chose us because we sort of showed ourselves to be good, upright citizens. This is not the case. God reached across the table. God took the initiative. God's grace went ahead. It was, in that sense, prevenient. It went ahead. And the whole idea of grace is that God takes the initiative. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So this is what David does here at this point. So then he shows grace to this Hanun, but that grace is abused. And David gets furiously fuming angry about it. You see, it's very hard to maintain a level of grace to the end. And I think you see David failing likewise with Shimei when he comes out and curses David at the time of Absalom's rebellion. You know, Joab wants to go and kill him and all that, and David says, no, let's show grace to him. But then on his deathbed, David basically says to Solomon, make sure that that white hair of Shimei comes down to the grave with his own blood on it. In other words, kill him, and he expresses it in a pretty nasty sort of way. So he doesn't maintain that level of grace, and this is a challenge to us, that you can show grace and feel God's grace very intensely at some point in your life. It may be for a few minutes, it could be for a few weeks, it could be for a few years. But then you slip. This is the danger, and I think this is what happened to David, really. I do find the deathbed statements of David really quite disappointing, to be honest. I really feel that he's got just obsessed with the temple that God didn't really want him to build, and he's into paying back everybody rather than dying, showing grace to people. But anyway, he will be saved by grace, but what I'm saying is that this is the challenge of grace, to live on that level. So then, he shows grace to Hanun, but it's refused, and he gets angry with it. He gets angry about this. Now look, he abused God's grace to him over Bathsheba, and God in his wrath did not kill him, but that's what David wants to do. He wants to go on with this war. Well, there's a very sort of similar incident in David's life earlier in 1 Samuel 25, where David sends messengers again to Nabal, meaning well to him, and they're rebuffed very rudely. And then he gets real mad and says, I'm going to wipe out a lot of you, including Abigail. If it wasn't for her grace and for her wisdom, that is what would have happened. And in essence, the same thing repeats in David's life. He sends messengers meaning well to Hanun, who are again misinterpreted, slandered, and rebuffed, and sent back in shame. And again, David gets angry, but there's no Abigail to sort of rein him in now. So I think that circumstances repeat in our lives because God is there. God is using it all to test us and to develop us.
so that you may have a trial, let's say, with a noisy, difficult neighbour in the block of flats where you live. And, well, that disappears. And lo and behold, 10 years later, you're living in another block of flats where, again, there is a noisy, difficult, feral neighbour. And what is it? God is testing you. God is absolutely testing you all the way through. And this is how God is, that he will repeat the very same test sometimes or with slight modifications, even if we, as it were, passed. Or if we failed, well, then we've got another chance. And if we got it right the first time, well, then we've got a chance to get it right again. I mean, that's how you teach kids, isn't it? That's how we all learn. You don't give them just one problem in maths. Okay, yeah, you got it right. You give them like five or six now. Do them all. Get the hang of it. And this is how God works in our lives. Although we can't attach meaning to event, all the same, we do have this very clear sense that God is working in my life. And as Jesus said, it's like the Spirit, it's like the wind that you don't know where it comes from, you don't know where it's blowing to, but you feel its effect at this precise moment in time. But as I say here, I think he fails to learn the lesson of Abigail, that Abigail had taught him. Because he sends Joab and all the army to get involved in a fight with these people. So the whole thing escalated. And as we see, there is never any real victor in conflict. And yet, you do see as a result of all this, that really all the kings that were servants to Hadadezer were defeated, and they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the Ammonites anymore. So the smaller kings like Tob, Rehob, Maachah, they now paid tribute to David rather than to Hadadezer. So God worked through it, through this failure, as I see it, of David, in order to advance his kingdom, to extend his kingdom. And, you know, Hadadezer gathered soldiers from even beyond the river Euphrates, it says. So actually, potentially, the kingdom could have been established right up to the Euphrates, all because David couldn't control his anger, all because David failed. So this is what I marvel at in the sort of ecology of God, that he works through human failure all the time in order to bring about eventually the establishment of his kingdom and our place in it.